Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, the 8th of July, 2020. About 19 hours, or just less than 19 hours, until we head back into lockdown in metropolitan Melbourne and a few extra areas as well. So good luck to everyone over the next 6 weeks. We're in it for the long haul. And just keep it locked on RSN 927 for a nice little companion throughout the day. The good news is that racing continues through this time. So well done to everyone in the industry. So is footy, but not in Melbourne. They've all had to head interstate. Let's have a listen to Jack Revolt, who last night on Fox Footy said he had a few second thoughts about entering the hub.
Yeah, I cried like a baby, which unashamedly, that's the one thing that I'm going to struggle with more than anything else. And I think over the whole period here, I'll constantly ask myself, why am I here? What am I actually doing, leaving my young family to come up here and play a game?
Meanwhile, Chris Scott may rest Gary Ablett ahead of round six.
Yeah, I'm on record as saying that if I had my time over again and our coaches had their time over again, we may have been a bit more proactive last year. But we're also keeping our options open and trying to make sure that decision-making takes into account the relevant evidence in the moment. So, yeah, it's an option for us not to play him this week. We've certainly talked about it, spoken to him, but we haven't made that decision yet.
We'll hear more from Chris Scott a little later on in the Breakfast Bite. Plenty to come this morning, including some live EPL scores as well. Next.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Huge show on the Breakfast Club coming up after 6 this morning. There is so much to discuss. Not sure we'll be seeing half or Whitey in the studio for a long time. See you in 6 weeks, lads. Half has the rockout choice this morning as well, so he will have a chat about that. Before 6:30, we'll hear his choice, Whitey. 7-question quiz and the early mail all coming your way before 7 this morning. Then Sherelle McMahon, Australia's greatest ever netballer, we'll join the guys from 7 o'clock. Taylor Adams from Collingwood as well on Life in the Hub. John Quinn from Quinn Elite Sports will keep us fit and healthy. We're all going back into lockdown, so a good time to have Quinny on. Matthew Lloyd will be part of the RSN Legend Series this morning. Looking forward to hearing Lloydy. Luke Beveridge, coach of the Western Bulldogs, after 8 this morning. And Hayden Kennedy, also the AFL umpire's boss, just before the conclusion of the show at 8:30 when Michael Felgate takes over with Racing Pulse. We'll update you on a little bit of racing news from late last night as well in just a second. But let's start with the footy news. As you heard, Jack Revolt off the top said he had a few second thoughts about life in the hub. How's it going for him up there north of the border?
Probably been the one thing that's been on my mind today, just trying to wrap my head around it, and obviously being so far away, it's been difficult. I won't lie yet. I probably have second guess a little bit coming up here. Leaving yesterday was really tough, just obviously with Poppy only being very young and Carly as well, just leaving her at home and knowing what she has to go through by herself, basically being a single parent, there's certainly a weight on my shoulders about that. But I mean, it's the decision that we came to together. But like everything in this current climate, it shifts hourly. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in a position where, for the next 6 weeks in Victoria, we're going back to the lockdown. And unfortunately, there isn't much I can do up here at the moment, but I sort of just try and organise as much as I can from afar. So, currently staying in the hub and trying to enjoy it whilst supporting Carly and every other player that's got a partner at home that needs the support right now. I cried like a baby, which unashamedly, that's the one thing that I'm going to struggle with more than anything else. And I think over the whole period here, I'll constantly ask myself, why am I here? What am I actually doing, leaving my young family to come up here and play a game? But the club has given me so much over my career. that I'm truly indebted to them, and that's why I'm here doing my bit for my football club. Whilst trying to do my bit for my family too.
Jack Riewoldt speaking last night on Fox Footy. Let's head to Chris Scott. The Cats have a conundrum with Gary Ablett, as Chris Scott mentioned. He wants to focus on resting him a couple of times throughout this season, which is, of course, shortened anyway. Gary Ablett also posted on Instagram a pretty emotional message. He's been going through a tough time with his son being diagnosed with a rare disorder, so a real battle for Gary Ablett and his family. Chris Scott spoke about that yesterday.
We've put a lot of thought into it, but really, at the end of the day, it's an intensely personal decision for Gary, and he's decided to speak, or at least elaborate a little bit publicly on it, and I think really he should be the only spokesperson in regard to his feelings and, to an extent, his plans, because we consider our role as one of support for whatever he needs. So right at the moment, we're pushing on with a little bit of a loose plan around what his next month to 6 weeks might look like, but keeping our options open to change our mind as things happen. So it's clearly a difficult time for him, and has been for some time, but one of the things that's made him a champion over the years, in my opinion, is his ability to compartmentalise these things. If you put yourself in his shoes just for a second, it's just an incredibly difficult situation he's working through. So again, our role is to support. I won't speak for him. I'll let him do that when he feels the time's right.
Chris Scott speaking there on Gary Ablett. Maybe we will, maybe we won't see him this week. We'll hear a little bit more from Chris Scott later on in the show about Geelong's preparation. Now an update from up north with Matty Rowe. This is a really unfortunate situation. Of course, playing against the Cats on the weekend where he dislocated his shoulder. Scans confirmed that yesterday. Rodney Eade had his say on the Breakfast Club and said he'd send him in for surgery. And that's what the Gold Coast Suns have done. Here's footy manager John Haynes.
This is the first real injury that Matt's had in his whole career, so it was a new experience for him. We wanted to make sure, one, that we got the very best opinions and a broad range of opinions as well. We wanted to make sure that the family, so Matt's parents and Matt himself, had really good input and a good understanding of the options available to them. And ultimately, it was a decision that Matt had to make. And so we had to make sure that we laid all the evidence and all the research and all the information for him and his family to consider, and for them to make an informed opinion, which they have.
The Gold Coast Suns take on Melbourne at Giants Stadium at 6:05 on Saturday night. So doesn't that become a very interesting game this weekend? Unfortunately, they're going to be without Matt Rowe for likely the remainder of the season, but we'll wait to see how his recovery fares. All the best to him. John Longmire now, he thanked all other clubs yesterday for their sacrifice. Sydney this week have to head away from home. They're playing Richmond at the Gabba in the Queensland hub, but the way things are going, they'll be back in Sydney pretty shortly.
We're under no illusions. We really appreciate what the players and staff and other clubs are doing for the competition at the moment. And you know, those clubs in Queensland, the clubs now that are in New South Wales and Queensland, the clubs that are going to WA, we really appreciate that from a competition perspective. So, you know, there's an enormous amount of respect for that, and whatever we can do to help, and we will. We're fortunate, you know, we are, as all clubs, make sacrifices, and they're different styles of living and things you can and can't do, but there's some that are making some real sacrifices in regards to the challenges of packing themselves up and their families and being away for a period of time. So, you know, that's something to be respectful of in the competition, and you know, we're certainly respectful of the opposition clubs and teams and what they've been able to do in that regard.
More from John Longmire to come shortly as the Swans face the Tigers at the Gabba on Sunday. Let's finish footy for the time being with Jagger O'Meara. Plenty of talk about the Hawks clash with Collingwood, who are under pressure themselves. He spoke about being wary of an undermanned Pies outfit.
They're three quality players, and they've probably, well, the two of them, Steele Sidebottom and Jeremy Howe, have probably been their best performing players this season so far, so it definitely helps. But it was a bit bizarre. We actually shared a flight with them to Sydney. We got a text the day before the flight and said that the conditions in Victoria are worsening, so Collingwood are actually going to be on your flight tomorrow. So that was a bit bizarre, but looking forward to playing them. We've obviously only two games post the game, and the boys are a little bit banged up, but we'll get in the ocean and go for a walk and do some recovery stuff and get ready for Collingwood on Friday night.
There we go. That's Jager O'Meara speaking yesterday from the Sydney Hub. We'll have more footy news to come a little later in the breakfast bite. Just a bit of racing news that came through last night. Racing Victoria stewards have determined that 81 of the 395 horses implicated in the ongoing Aquanita case should be disqualified, meaning an unprecedented clawback of prize money could be enforced. There's more on this on the RSN website, rsn.net.au. Mick Sharkey has written about what it means for those 81 horses and the steps now that RV will have to take in terms of getting that prize money back, which is obviously a huge task at hand. More on that after 8:30 as well with Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse. Speaking of a big task at hand, that's what the A-League have got just to finish their season. It looks like they completely stuffed it up. Every other sporting code just about in Melbourne got out of the state before the restrictions were enforced. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for the three A-League teams based here. They're now in a huge conundrum as to how they get these exemptions, which you would have thought wouldn't have taken too long to be granted, but a day and a half after they asked for one, for the three Victorian-based A-League teams, they still haven't got it. So they will remain in Victoria as the FFA seek those exemptions to enter New South Wales. So head of leagues Greg O'Rourke last night said, we did absolutely everything we could to get the players and staff out of Victoria by midnight. But in such a rapidly evolving situation, unfortunately, it was just not possible. We're in discussions with the New South Wales government, and we will continue to seek the exemptions necessary for the teams to travel. Let's have a listen to the New South Wales Deputy Premier, John Barilaro, who was asked about the A-League exemptions yesterday.
I think we've got to work with the FFA, so I'll be reaching out to the FFA today and then see what support they need. But yeah, of course, if we've got an opportunity to do so, let's bring them across the border, let's park them in the regions or here in the city and make sure they're part of the A-League that kicks off shortly. Yeah, we'll work through it, but you know, I think there is a real opportunity to do it and there's a possibility the exemptions exist and we'll work with health officials as we've done previously with all the other codes. And no one would have thought we could have brought the Warriors over at the time, but we did. And then the Brisbane teams that came across over the border. So we've got a process in place to deal with it, so we'll work with the FFA.
So plenty of work still to do in the A-League. Time for a break at 5:45 on your Wednesday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with some Melbourne Storm news. It's some good news too. With Cam Munster yesterday on the Breakfast Bite, we heard him say he might be out for 5 to 6 weeks. He's in line for selection after that knee injury for this week. More on that after this at 5:45.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Watford look to break with Saar. He's got the benefit of that one against McLean. And still Saar with two coming up to join him. Saar into the middle. And Welbeck on the overhead. Oh, how about that? Incredible goal from Danny Welbeck.
I know they got the fake noise there from the crowd, but they needed to ramp that up to about 15 out of 10 because that was an unbelievable strike from Danny Welbeck. An overhead goal to give Watford a 2-1 victory at Vicarage Road. So huge win for them. That lifts them out of the relegation zone. They're now 4 points clear of Aston Villa, who are in the relegation zone, and Watford in 17th place on the EPL table. So that's a massive result for Watford. At the Emirates at the moment, live score, Arsenal 1-0 over Leicester City, 34 minutes played in that game. Arsenal trying to cling on to any chance of finishing in the top four. If this result stays as it is, they'll still be 9 points behind Leicester, so a real battle for them in the last six or seven games of the season. Let's head to Jose Mourinho. I don't know if you saw this yesterday. Incredible scenes in the Tottenham game where their goalkeeper, Hugo Lloris, and Sung, who's their massive popular figure from South Korea, he was involved in a bit of almost fisticuffs at half time. Incredible confrontation between the two. And this is what Jose Mourinho had to say about it post-match.
I also saw that at halftime when the players were having a little argument or a little fight, if you want to call it that way. The players, they cared. The players, they felt the pressure of getting a performance today. They were demanding more from each other. And for me, that's very important.
You almost sound pleased that they were seen to be lashing out at each other.
Also because I feel a little bit guilty. because come from me that demand. I ask the players to demand more from each other. I ask the players to not to be passive, don't accept what the others were giving, to demand more from each other. I was asking them, so everything come from that, and I'm really happy. I'm really happy because now I understand that the players, they can have also that mentality. You know, in front of the cameras, sometimes we could avoid, but at the same time comes with the emotion of the game, and for me that's not a big deal at all, not a big deal at all. And at least people can see that we care, that we were not happy with what we did in the last match, because to be honest, it would be very, very easy for me to speak non-stop about Michael Oliver, but I decide not to do that. I decide that in our training ground, no talk about that, just focus on how bad we played and how bad we faced that game.
Jose Mourinho there on the confrontation yesterday. Importantly, though, Spurs got all 3 points. Test cricket returns tonight. Great news for those of us at about 8 o'clock. We are looking for something to watch on TV. Dom Sibley, he's been on a diet. He's lost about 13 kilos during isolation. So good news for him. He's returning to the England Test side, which will take the field against the West Indies tonight. And he spoke about the return and how important it is of Test cricket.
I think someone said the other day it's the first international sports event that's going ahead. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, it'd be great to have some international sport on. And yeah, like the Premier League football, it's exciting for everyone to get stuff back on the TV that they love. And yeah, hopefully we can provide some entertainment and some winning games.
Some news there as well, with Stuart Broad set to miss out on selection for the first test, as Jofra Archer looks to get the nod over him, along with Mark Wood. And James Anderson's also back with the new ball. So very interesting. That would be the first test that Stuart Broad has missed at home in 51 test matches. The last time he missed a home test was 2012, where he was rested for the game anyway because England had won that series. So he's got quite an incredible record at home, Stuart Broad. But the veteran of 138 tests looks set to miss the opening test against the West Indies. Let's head to a bit of NRL news. Now, yesterday you would have heard Cameron Munster on The Breakfast Bite mention that he might be out for 5-6 weeks, maybe even longer, with that knee injury that he suffered. The good news is, reports today in the News Limited papers, that he will be half a chance to play this week, and he's putting his hand up for selection. So lots changed in 24 hours. Let's have a listen to Jerome Hughes yesterday from the Melbourne Storm. He spoke about the partnership with Cam Smith, who played out of his position at the start of the greatest NRL game ever played on Thursday night against the Roosters. Didn't start at hooker, but moved there eventually, and Jerome Hughes was bossing him around the park.
Well, no, I didn't. You know, maybe a couple of times he was in the wrong place, and Craig gave me the green light to actually spray him, but I couldn't do it. I just gave him a polite reminder, I think it was, just to, you know, remind him that, you know, he's not playing hooker, he was playing in the halves. But yeah, nah, I didn't spray him. I wouldn't spray him. I wouldn't do that. That's too scary for me.
What was his response to you, Jerome?
Nah, he's pretty cool and calm. He just said, yeah, sorry, mate. So, if I sprayed him, I don't know what I got. I probably would have got the steely eyes, and then I probably might have been dropped the week after. So I think I did a pretty good job of not spraying him.
So how are things working with the halves at the moment? And are you sort of, do you see yourself as a 5'8", as a halfback, as whatever Smithy isn't? Or how are you sort of balancing out your sort of role at the moment?
Yeah, I'm just still trying to work, you know, obviously still trying to, you know, be a halfback myself. So I'm just still trying to do my same thing I've been doing the whole preseason and the whole year. So nothing too much has changed. But, yeah, it's good to have, you know, a guy like Cameron Smith come in there and help me out a bit. You know, the coaches have wanted me to run, you know, a lot more. Or not a lot more, but to use my running game, even though I am playing in the halves. So I think it's just a bit of a confidence thing. You know, I want to run the ball more and the coaches want me to. So, you know, just backing myself and doing that.
Jerome Hughes there speaking. He has turned into a seriously good player for the Melbourne Storm. Just another option they've got in the halves, he's playing nicely after that position was up for grabs about a year and a half ago after Cooper Cronk decided to head to the Roosters and go to New South Wales. Let's head back to the footy world to finish your breakfast bite on this Wednesday morning. We'll start with John Longmire. We heard from him before, thanking all the other clubs for their sacrifices during this time, heading up to the hubs in New South Wales, Queensland and WA. Let's have a listen to what he had to say about the current injury crisis in the AFL with plenty coming out of the most recent round.
Personally, I think it was always inevitable. It was always going to happen. And I think that's, you know, that's what we were discussing with the AFL all the way through. It wasn't necessarily the first or second week. It was always going to be sort of 3 or 4 weeks in where you get that run of injuries. And there's those extra challenges for this, you know, the players that are outside the team. How do they keep in form if there's no games for them to play and the numbers get less and less? So those are the challenges that all teams have got.
Speaking of injuries, yesterday Leon Cameron gave us an injury update from GWS. Tim Taranto, hopefully not far away.
Taranto will probably put his hand up to return. He's done his 18 weeks of rehab, so having him in that selection consideration is, you know, only but a positive thing for us. So he'll, whether or not we bring him back with some one or two practice matches, we'll make that decision during the week. But he's in really good shape. Sammy Taylor's a really interesting one. He's sort of started off with a back injury from the game the week before in the Collingwood game, but that's sort of spiralled out of control a little bit into an infection in his joints, which has been really tough for him. He's been in hospital the last probably 3 or 4 days. So we don't really have a timeline for him, and he's been knocked around a fair bit, but we're probably expecting him to be out for probably at least a month. So what started out as something pretty simple has ended up in something that's not great for Sammy.
There we go, Leon Cameron from the Giants yesterday. Let's head to Brody Smith now. Plenty of interest around the Crows. This is what he had to say about their mindset at the moment.
It's pretty good. I think the coach has been really good at keeping us positive, and clearly we're not playing at the level we want to, but it's not a case of, you know, us getting slammed of doing things wrong. It's more of this is what we're working towards, this is how we're getting better. We've had some really good chats with players of, you know, how many extras can we do, where can we find time to improve and do more. So we've been in a really good headspace. I think the hub was good for us in that space to stay together, work together. But yeah, obviously it's tough. It's 0-5 is not where you want to be, but we're finding ways to chip away and get better and better each week. And for us, that's the most important thing at the moment.
Brody Smith speaking yesterday. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning. Plenty to get through on the Breakfast Club. Sherelle McMahon, Taylor Adams, Matthew Lloyd, Luke Beveridge and Aidan Kelly, all part of a massive Wednesday morning. Huff and Whitey back in lockdown. You'll hear from them on the other side of the 6 o'clock news.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.